And I'd like to welcome Jez Ray speaking in public in the studio this afternoon.
A very good afternoon to you, Danny.
And Jez, not only are you a speaking in public expert, but you're also a singer.
Yes, it's my mad amateur passion. Probably like many people out there, sang at school, then gave it up for family, but then something triggers you in later life. And you get the chance to join a choral society, and the next thing you know, you're on stage with 250 people at the Lethal Festival singing the Mozart Requiem.
He says, casually dropping that into the conversation. So that's what you've been doing the last few days.
Yes, the Lethal Festival has been going since 1905. It's been going in the Dorking Hall since it was built in the 30s for Ralph Vaughan Williams. It's one of England's biggest and most fantastic choral festivals, and 12 choirs take part over 3 days of deathly choral competition, fighting for trophies in the morning.
And is there a winner yet?
There's a winner each evening. So out of the four choirs of that day, one wins the overall points aggregate, but there are prizes for everything. Women's song, men's song, part song, madrigal. But it's a huge choral day of competition in the morning, then come together. And to be part of a choir of 250 voices on stage is something really, really special.
I bet it is. Yeah. So your choir, how have they done?
Dorking Choral Society, we won our day quite comfortably, so we're quite proud of ourselves. Thank you very much. Yes, yes.
Oh, that's very nice. So, not really here to talk about this, but it's very, very interesting, actually. You have to tell us more another time, I think.
Okay.
Tell me about public speaking.
Yes, it's one of those things, and I can imagine, and you may feel this yourself, when you have to stand up in front of a group of people, perhaps it's a business meeting coming up, or you've got to do a speech at a wedding. You know you've got to talk to a group of people. You stand up, the hairs on the back of your neck go up, the palms get sweaty, you start to feel really, really nervous. Most people would run a mile rather than speak in public. I was very fortunate that my first employer in my commercial career, I used to be a bank manager many years ago, which I admit occasionally.
You don't look like a bank manager. Does everybody say that to you?
Yes, they do, actually. Yeah. But I was. But when I was a very tender young lad, when you didn't have the ability to say no to your employer in those days, I was thrown into public speaking competitions. So at a very young age, I was standing in front of a line of judges, delivering a speech with lights going on and off, comments being made, absolutely pant-wettingly scary.
Golly, that must have been incredibly nerve-wracking.
It was. But when you've been trained to do it, and you've done it, you then realise that actually nobody else wants to do it, but you can. And that stayed with me throughout all my commercial career, and end-of-course speeches at dinners, or when I left the bank and worked for SMEs. We had a partner in Chicago that needed a course on the product that we had developed. So, Jez, you can do it. So hop on a plane, write the speech or the course on the plane, and deliver a two-day workshop in Chicago. What more do you want? It's fantastic.
Exactly. I have in the past worked with one or two corporate directors who actually have been terrified of public speaking and would much rather pay somebody else to do it for them.
You're absolutely right. And one of the joys of what I do, it's so rewarding when you can get that light to switch on somebody's eyes and they know that they can do it. So I've had recently several of that level people tap me quietly on the shoulder and say, "Jez, I've got to give a presentation at a business expo, for example. Could we have, a little pipe of your time, can you just give me some tips?" And in a relatively short space of time, you can give people the confidence to get up there, look confident, sound confident, even if they're quaking inside. But if they can look and deliver confidently, that's the battle.
I have got to say something, though, because you do have an advantage, because you do have an excellent voice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So, okay, just quickly, in the singing, are you a baritone?
I'm a second bass.
Second bass.
So okay. For those who...
That sounds a bit naughty.
That's actually...
Sorry.
We do it twice. My speciality is the C below the bass stave, which to anyone who sings will know that's just a grumbly note that actually shivers its way through everyone else in the choir. But in all the voices, the second basses are the one who get the really low gravelly notes, and it's just fun.
But it must help if you've got a good voice. I mean, if you've got, you know, if you're a big strapping chap and you've got a bit of a squeaky voice, that might make you extra nervous.
Yes, but again, it doesn't take much, and actually all the training from the singing that I do crosses over quite neatly into speaking and presenting in public. If you can just use a few simple techniques, something as simple as breathing, just to help relax you, help to lower your diaphragm. You can change your voice from the really nervous, I've got to do a talk, I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do, but I've just got to talk and I'm just going to make a mess of it. I know I am, to I've taken a deep breath. I'm in control. I can relax my voice. I can relax my body. I can actually sound confident. And all I did was take one really good deep breath before I started. It's magic.
Is it true that there's probably an element of taking that deep breath is helping to put extra oxygen into your brain, which is helping your thinking, and that if you speak too fast, you don't allow your brain to catch up with your words, do you? Sort of.
So true. Because when you are standing up there and speaking, you feel that if you pause for just a microsecond, the audience is going to switch off, they're going to run away, they're going to get their iPads out, and they're going to start answering emails. But actually, you did hit on a very important point. The speed at which you can speak is considerably faster than the rate at which your audience can actually absorb what you're saying. So to take a pause just now and then, to perhaps go to your notes and just check where you're supposed to be on that speech, it may seem to you forever to take that pause, but all your audience has done is clock that you're maybe going to move on to the next topic, or actually they've brought their brains back from thinking of the shopping list for the kids that evening. You give your audience a chance to catch up with you if you just use breathing and pauses to break up your presentation.
And of course, it's varying your tone, isn't it, as well, which you're doing perfectly.
A part of the workshops that I run is actually looking at voice tones. Yes. Are you down the pub with your mates? Are you having a conversation? Are you in your presentation trying to deliver a really exciting story? Or actually, are you delivering something really important that you've got to deliver a message to the team, and this is the tone in which you're going to deliver it? There was a lovely little example from a workshop last year. I was dealing with a fantastic lady solicitor who I won't name because she might be listening for all I know. And we did the workshop and she said, I've just realised that the voice that I use in the office for all these powerful clients, I take it home and I use it in the kitchen with my teenage kids. And they say to me, Mum, there is no point in even talking to you. So she made the conscious effort to go home, leave that voice in the office and actually be a normal person in the kitchen. And I met her a couple of months later and she said, it's made the most amazing difference to my relationship with my kids. Voice tones are just so important.
I'm going to ask you a question now. You said that you did all this training and that you were sort of doing this from quite an early age. Do you remember the very first time that you actually had to stand up and do your first public speech?
Very, very clearly. Yes, I can see it now. It was the first of the public speaking competitions. It was actually the British Junior Chamber of Commerce public speaking competitions back actually in the 1970s, if I dare to admit that. And I can still see the judges in my mind's eye. I can see the three lights that go off. There was, I think it was white for you're about to approach your 7-minute speech, green because you've hit 7 minutes, and then red because you've gone to 7:30. So you've now completely written yourself out of the competition. And I can still see every judge's face. And to give him his due, the chief judge came up to me afterwards and said, Jez, you didn't win. You know, didn't expect to win. But he said, I think you're probably the person who learnt the most today, because I was a very, very nervous early 20s. And he was right. I went home and absorbed what I'd been taught for that speech and that competition. And that's what stayed with me for the last 30, 40 years.
Wow. I'm very impressed by that, I have to say. I mean, it is quite terrifying. It's funny. I find I'm okay talking on the radio. I'm sort of okay getting up and talking to people, but I perform better in front of an audience where I don't know anyone.
Yes.
What's going on about that?
Yes, you see people that you recognise and it sort of sends this shiver down your spine, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it's in fact, we met at a networking event, didn't we? And yes, I actually remember standing up doing my 60 seconds and going, what was that about? It was rubbish. But I knew quite a lot of the people in there, and I just felt so nervous. It was ridiculous.
There was a big study done in the States some years ago now, and they asked people, in a proper survey, what do you fear most in life? And the top fears were, number one, speaking in public, number two, walking into a room full of strangers, and third, death. So people actually said they feared dying less than speaking in public. Yes.
Oh, my word. That's really quite scary. If people want to find out more about the workshops and the training that you do, how would they get in touch with you?
The easiest thing is to hop on my website, which is simply speakinginpublic.info, and there's a contact page on there. The bulk of my business is working with businesses and organisations to run workshops for their staff, for their teams in their premises. But I love this so much. If someone really needs some help, I'm always willing to see if I can slip something in the diary to help people out for that wedding speech coming up, or for that talk in the office that they've been dreading for 3 months. To have someone from a corporate scenario contact me on LinkedIn afterwards, that's another contact point, LinkedIn, of course, to contact me on LinkedIn and say, thank you, I delivered that speech, I delivered that monthly report to my office, and I did it. That's what it's all about.
Lovely. It's been very reassuring having you here in the studio. One overall tip, what would that be?
The biggest tip of all is breathing. I go through a lot of techniques on the workshops, but the one that makes the biggest difference is get that deep breath in before you start. When you stand up and you turn round, have the confidence to take that deep breath before you begin, and that will make a huge, huge difference.
You heard it here on Brooklyn's Radio. Just breathe. Public speaking with Jez Ray. Jez, thank you so much for coming into the studio today. It's been wonderful having you here.
A pleasure. Thank you, Danny. Brooklyn's Radio.